Hello, I am Rosarie Griffin, and this is an interview with Colette Cunningham, who's a lecturer in global health from the School of Public Health at UCC. And tonight we are going to discuss vaccinations, viruses, infectious diseases, and immunology. So you're very welcome to the show, Colette.
Thank you very much.
Now, you're a lecturer in global health. How did you become interested in that area?
Well, first and foremost, I suppose I have a nursing background, a nursing and midwifery background, which took me to foreign parts, and I ended up working with international NGOs, working in public health, and particularly in the field of HIV and AIDS. And so I suppose I developed an interest from there, and then I decided then that I wanted to get a qualification. I did a master's in public health because of my interest of working in Africa, where it just developed from there.
Okay, Colette, your reception is a bit. So, Colette, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in the area of global health.
Okay. So, I suppose, Rosarie, my background is in nursing, and I trained as a nurse originally and as a midwife, and then subsequently ended up working abroad, first in Switzerland, and from there I ended up going out to India and working in a street clinic on a mother and child health program. And that sparked, I suppose, a lifelong interest since in working in for health inequalities, and particularly in poor nations. I subsequently worked in Africa, and because of all of that, I decided that I needed to get some training, and I did a master's in public health. And out of that, my specialty area would be global public health. So I guess that's in a nutshell, that's a very quick synopsis of how I got interested in that, you know, and that would be my passion, would be global public health.
That's quite an interesting background, and a wide variety of experiences from Switzerland to Africa, and working for many international organisations, which I know you have done, including the World Health Organization. And speaking of which, you're deeply involved in COVID-19. Can you tell us your involvement in that whole pandemic since it was declared by the WHO in March?
So, as mentioned, I'm a lecturer at the university, and when this was declared, the university was closed, and I volunteered to be involved as a public health person, and our School of Public Health was heavily involved in the national initiative. And so I volunteered, and then I was subsequently asked if I would oversee occupational health contact tracing, so in Cork area. And so that meant setting up along with the HSE setting and being involved in coordinating the occupational health contact tracing hub. So we looked at any healthcare worker. So that was anybody who was working in a healthcare environment who was either in contact with a COVID-positive patient or resident, or who was or with a colleague, or who became positive themselves. So it meant liaising with them. And we had a very interesting and unique experience because we had a contact tracing hub that was made up of HSE staff who had been redeployed to it, and who I suppose managed the information lines. Then the permanent occupational health team from the occupational health department from the HSE South, which is based at CUH, and then the team that I managed, which was a team of predominantly volunteers but also HSE redeployed staff for contact tracing. So we worked seamlessly, really. You know, we had this little hub going where we worked hand in hand with one another, and it was a very interesting experience.
Very
busy,
good.
But very interesting.
Yes, and in terms of yourself, were you not concerned about your own welfare in terms of picking up COVID-19? Because obviously it's highly contagious. And did you have sufficient PPE and all that gear?
We didn't wear PPE. We were in a hub and we practiced social distancing. And we also practiced, hygiene, hand washing, hand sanitization. So we were very rigorous in all of that, but we didn't use PPE because we couldn't possibly, that was for those in the hospitals, mm-hmm. required. But was I concerned? Not really, because I've been involved in outbreaks before and crisis, and I just, it's just something that, I suppose, not that I do, but, that I it was just important for me to be involved. So I didn't even give it a second thought. I just thought, this is, I need to be involved in this, and that's
yes.
it.
And tell me, was there much, COVID-19 within the healthcare sector? Did you come across much of it?
Well, the national statistics have revealed that there's a high proportion of healthcare workers who were exposed to COVID and who became positive. Some who obviously because of the work that they were doing, and others because they may have picked it up from in the community.
Yes.
I suppose there's a mixture, but it was definitely prevalent. People who worked in that area were definitely more exposed than the ordinary public person who was in lockdown and working at home and so forth. So there were definitely.
Now, in terms of your own work, Colette, I know you're ahead of the posse because you actually had already embraced online learning and blended learning in terms of your own courses that you offer in UCC in terms of epidemiology. So from, I suppose, a work point of view, the transition to working from home would have been second nature to you, unlike a lot of other colleagues.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually, that's true, but I actually didn't work at all from home during this time. I was out every day, working very long hours, but the transition to online learning would not have been alien to me because I've been doing that for the last few years and would have set up an online program. But I was released from my academic duties in order to be involved in this particular role with the HSE.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of a second wave, are you afraid there will be a second wave? And if so, are we prepared for it?
I think that we have done remarkably well in Ireland. Are we going to have a second wave? I think we will see an increase in cases. As to whether that translates to a second wave or not, that's still out for the jury.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the evidence that has taken place on other countries globally and what we've seen in Germany and other places, I think we can expect that there will be an increase in numbers as we open up and open up further. But as I said, will that translate into a big wave? That's really only, well, it's difficult to predict at this moment in time. But given how we've suppressed the virus to the level that we have suppressed it,
mm-hmm.
it's unlikely that we'll see a massive wave, but we'll certainly see an increase in numbers, I would think.
And what are your thoughts about wearing a mask?
Wearing a mask, I think wearing a mask is only good if everybody wears it.
Okay,
it's actually, I can wear a mask, but if you're not wearing a mask, I'm protecting you from me, but I'm not being protected from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the principle. And I think that what we are, the guidance that's out there, I think it's good guidance that if you cannot maintain the distance, okay, so in an enclosed environment,
mm-hmm.
or if you're with somebody who's vulnerable, I think it's important to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. That's very wise words, Colette. And in terms of 2020, this year has been an incredible year, I think, in anybody's calendar. But what were the outstanding moments for you? And I'm not necessarily saying positive outstanding or negative, but in terms of how your life changed as a result of the pandemic, were there any, or have you any thoughts or any outstanding moments?
Well, Yeah, I worked with an extraordinary group of people, and it's very rare to actually have people thrown together, three essentially different teams thrown together, and to work smoothly and seamlessly. And from that point of view, I mean, we celebrated life, we celebrated death, we laughed together, we cried together, we had fun in the midst of it, and I don't mean fun, you know, but,
yes,
you know, we had long days, and, you know, I mean, there were several weeks where we worked 7 days a week, 12-hour days, you know, with no breaks, but we still had, you know, enjoyed company and good conversations in the midst of the busyness and the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose if I have a lasting memory, that's what lasts. You know, I've met some extraordinary people, many who were retired and who came back and volunteered to be part of it. And it was an absolute privilege to be the coordinator and to lead on that team. And that would be my lasting memory of 2020. And the experience of being involved in a global pandemic, and, you know, curbing it and being part of that from a public health specialist perspective was really important as well.
And I suppose finally, do I hear that in terms of what you just said, a paper coming on? Do I feel a paper coming on, or a book even?
Well, there'll certainly be research. You know, there's a lot of rich information.
Mm-hmm.
That's there. And I suppose, as I said, I worked with some extraordinary people, many who are also academics and non-academics too. And I would imagine that, yes, we'll probably do some piece of research out of the work that we've done. I'm not sure what that will be just yet, but we'll see.
Okay, Colette, I'd like to thank you sincerely for taking time out to do this interview with us this evening, and also I suppose on behalf of everybody and the general public, to thank you sincerely for the work that you've done. A lot of it, as you sort of hinted at, is behind the scenes, a lot of long hours, long days, long weeks, and to keep the rest of us safe. So I think we owe you a debt of gratitude, so thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Rosario. It was a pleasure.
We hope to talk to you again in the future. Thank you, Colette.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Listening to Colette Cunningham, who is a lecturer in global health from the School of Public Health at UCC. And there we were speaking about viruses, infectious diseases, and particularly COVID-19. This interview on www.cry104fm.com. Go to podcasts and click on Dr. Rosario Griffin Presenter Podcasts.